Hello, people of the world. This is Zach, and you're listening to Explains on the Bitcoin Well podcast channel, the place where we can escape the noise and drama and relax into some truth and education. As I record this on Monday morning, it's been an exciting weekend with Bitcoin dropping down to 67K and then rocketing back up to 71K in a classic V-shaped recovery. Of course, no telling where the market will be by the time you're actually listening to this, but with Bitcoin experiencing record inflows from ETFs, it's starting to feel like more people understand that Bitcoin is the safest place to park your money in times of global uncertainty. We also saw large moves from the SEC and CFT, who printed 68 pages of government speak to explain how Bitcoin is a digital commodity and not a security. Of course, they also included a bunch of shitcoins on that list. It seems now that we've reached the they can't beat it so they want to join it part of the Bitcoin story, the next phase will be trying to distract people with endless crypto options, all hailed as the next Bitcoin. But you can guarantee most of these crypto won't last, and the ones that do will just be extensions of the fiat control system. Only Bitcoin has a chance at giving the world honest money that can't be controlled or manipulated. And that's why we take the time to learn and understand how it works, to give ourselves the tools we need to remain sovereign. So let's jump into today's podcast, How Bitcoin Mining and Proof of Work Works. Please email me any questions, concerns, or complaints to z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. That's z.addair@bitcoinwell.com. And everyone, have a great week. I'll catch you next time.
When you hear Bitcoin mining, one of two images comes to mind. Either it's some guy in a hoodie with a digital pickaxe hacking away at a virtual mountain to unearth magic internet coins, or it's a villain's lair, rows and rows of industrial machines humming in a warehouse, boiling the oceans, melting glaciers, all to solve what the news will describe as complex mathematical puzzles. Neither of those is even close to accurate. Mining is, at its core, network security. It's the mechanism by which Bitcoin's transaction history gets written, validated, and locked in permanently, without any bank, government, or central authority telling anyone what to do. In the last video, we talked about how Bitcoin blocks are chained together, each one sealed to the one before it. But we didn't answer the obvious follow-up question: who applies that seal? How are they chosen? And why on earth would anyone spend real money to do it? Well, that's what today is about. We're going to walk through proof of work from the ground up, what miners are actually doing, why Satoshi designed the system this way, and why Bitcoin's energy consumption, far from being a scandal, is the single most important feature of the entire system. Let's get to it. Tell me if you've heard this one before. Bitcoin mining is powerful computers solving complex mathematical equations to validate transactions. That sentence sounds impressive. It also makes mining sound like a room full of computers doing calculus. They aren't. What's actually happening is much simpler and honestly much more elegant. Mining is a guessing game, a blind, massive, relentless lottery. Here's the mechanic. Miners take the pending transaction sitting in the mempool, think of that as a Bitcoin's waiting room, and bundles them into a candidate block for the blockchain. They then run that block's data through a cryptographic algorithm called SHA-256. That algorithm spits out a string of letters and numbers called a hash. The network has a rule. For your block to be accepted, the hash has to start with a specific number of zeros, something like 00000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 near this. There is no equation to solve. There is no shortcut. The only way to find a hash that meets the requirement is to guess. Change one tiny piece of data in the block, run the algorithm again, check the result. Wrong. Guess again. Still wrong. Again, again. Miners are doing this billions of times per second. Think about it this way. Imagine a combination lock with a billion dials and you have 10 minutes to crack it. The only viable strategy is to hire millions of people to spin dials simultaneously as fast as they can and hope that someone hits the jackpot. That's Bitcoin mining. And the guessing requires electricity and time. Real electricity drawn from real power sources, converting real energy into heat. That's the work in proof of work. When a miner submits a valid block, the entire network can instantly verify that they burned real-world energy to find it. You can't shortcut it. The math is the proof. Okay, so miners are spending enormous amounts of money on specialized hardware and electricity to guess random numbers billions of times per second. The obvious question is why? Well, incentives. Pure, calculated, beautifully functional free market incentives. When a miner guesses the winning number, they get to write the next block. The protocol allows them to include one special transaction at the very top of that block, a transaction that pays them newly created Bitcoin. This is called the Coinbase transaction. Incidentally, that's where the exchange Coinbase got its name, even though they mostly just sell garbage crypto and not real Bitcoin these days. This single mechanic does two things simultaneously. First, it secures the network. It creates a powerful economic incentive for people all over the world to contribute computing power to the system. The more computing power competing to find the next block, the harder it is for any single actor to dominate the game. Second, it's the only way new Bitcoin ever enters circulation. Every Bitcoin that exists was created through this process and was paid out to a miner mining the block. There's no central bank deciding to print more. There's no treasury issuing new supplies. There's no committee. The protocol itself releases new Bitcoin on a fixed schedule to whoever wins the lottery. Satoshi replaced the printing press with a lottery ticket, and the lottery is secured by thermodynamics. And here's a detail worth appreciating. Satoshi didn't exempt himself from this process. There was no pre-mine, no coins quietly allocated to the founding team before launch. Satoshi mined Bitcoin the same way everyone else did, with a CPU competing fairly from block one. In a world full of crypto projects that handed insiders a head start, that matters. I'm looking at you, Ethereum. At this point, a reasonable person asks the obvious question, can someone just attack this? Can't a well-funded adversary throw enough computing power at the network to take control? In theory, yes. In practice, it's one of the most expensive undertakings imaginable. And even if you pulled it off, the payoff makes no sense. To overpower the Bitcoin network, you'd need to control more than 51% of its total computing power, what's called the hash rate. Today, that hash rate is enormous. We're talking about an amount of computing power that dwarfs every supercomputer on Earth combined. To match it, you need to secretly manufacture mining chips, called ASICs, build or acquire massive amounts of electricity generation, and coordinate all of it without anyone noticing. The cost would be in the hundreds of billions of dollars at a minimum. But here's the part that really kills the attack as a rational strategy. What do you actually win? You can reverse some of your own recent transactions? That's it. You can't steal other people's private keys. You can't change the 21 million supply cap. You can't rewrite old history. You just get the ability to double spend your own coins once before the network notices and responds. And while you're doing this, you're simultaneously destroying trust in the very asset you're trying to use. The price craters, the thing you spent $1 trillion to undermine and double spend, is now worth a fraction of what it was when you started.
Do you have any concerns about a large nation state that has interest in just actively destroying Bitcoin to make their own, super rigs and design chips and just throw hundreds of millions or billions of dollars to intentionally disrupt the blockchain.
Yeah, I don't worry about that at all. This cannot be done with Bitcoin anymore. This is something that can only be done with nascent altcoins. Bitcoin has achieved a level of computing that no single nation state can overthrow it through computation alone. The effort to do so would require a massive covert operation of chip fabrication, then the coordinated assault that would give them dominance over the next block for 10 minutes until we kick those bastards off the network. Rework the protocol around them, they would be revealed, they would have lost $1 billion doing this, and all they got to do was one double spend.
Satoshi understood something profound here. He understood that human greed, properly channeled, is more powerful than any security team. It's always more profitable to play by the rules and collect the block reward honestly than to attempt an attack that costs everything and gains almost nothing. The incentives are weaponized in favor of honest behavior, the complete opposite of the fiat system. Now, does this headline sound familiar?
Cryptocurrency is a new kind of payment network. It's largely free of regulation, and transactions can be harder to trace. But this anonymity has a price, and the planet is paying it.
It's an environmental disaster. It's boiling the oceans. You've heard some version of this. I want to take it seriously rather than dismiss it, because the question of whether the energy is justified is actually worth thinking about. Here's the framing that changes everything for me. Security requires energy, always, without exception. This is not unique to Bitcoin. It's a universal law of how valuable systems get protected. The US dollar is secured by aircraft carriers, standing armies, tens of thousands of bank branches, armored trucks, skyscrapers full of compliance departments, and a global network of diplomatic pressure. That system consumes staggering amounts of energy. We don't just calculate it as a line item because it's distributed across governments, militaries, and institutions that we've stopped noticing. Bitcoin makes the energy cost visible. That's actually a feature. You can look at the hash rate and know exactly how much it would cost to attack the network. The energy consumption is a publicly auditable security budget. And here's the deeper point. We live in a digital world where anything can be copied. An email can be forwarded infinitely. An image can be duplicated in a millisecond. And a deepfake can be indistinguishable from reality. In that environment, how do you prove that something is real? How do you create genuine digital scarcity? You anchor it to the physical world. You tie it to the laws of thermodynamics. Proof of work creates what you might call unforgeable costliness. The energy that went into producing a valid block cannot be faked, can't be replicated for free, and can't be conjured from nothing. That's what makes the chain trustworthy. The energy consumed is the wall protecting your savings. You want that wall to be thick. One more thing worth mentioning. Miners are ruthlessly incentivized to find the cheapest electricity on Earth. And the cheapest electricity on Earth is almost always energy that would otherwise be wasted, stranded renewable power in remote locations, like natural gas that would be flared into the atmosphere anyway, hydroelectric overflow that the grid can't absorb. Bitcoin mining is one of the only industries that can operate profitably anywhere there's a power source, which means it increasingly operates on energy that nobody else wants and that's not getting used. That's a more complicated picture than it's wasting energy that people need or it's boiling the oceans. So here's where we are. Miners spend real energy playing a global lottery. The winner writes the next block and collects newly created Bitcoin. The economic incentives align perfectly to make honest participation more profitable than attack. And the energy cost isn't a design flaw, it's the mechanism by which digital value gets anchored to the physical world. Satoshi weaponized greed to build an impenetrable shield. It's one of the most elegant systems ever designed. But here's the question I want to leave with you. If Bitcoin becomes enormously valuable, won't millions of people start mining? And if they have faster and faster computers, won't they find blocks faster and potentially inflate the supply ahead of schedule? Satoshi anticipated this. In the next video, we're talking about difficulty adjustments and the halving, the piece of code that keeps Bitcoin's heartbeat perfectly on time, and the event that has historically sent shockwaves through the entire market. If you don't want to miss it, subscribe. And if this was useful, drop a comment. I'm curious what surprised you most about how Bitcoin mining actually works. I'll see you in the next one. I'm going to go to the next one.